In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And that is the traditional King James translation. But we have to understand that there's two words that sound exactly the same when spoken, straight and straight. But one we spell with a G-H in it, and that's a straight line. But there's also straight without a G-H in it, and that's what we don't use as often as we used to, but you might have heard it a little bit more lately because of the Strait of Hormuz. We call it the Strait of Hormuz because it's a very narrow passage to get into the Persian Gulf. And there's a lot of things like that, like the Strait of Gibraltar, narrow pass to get either into the Mediterranean Sea if you're coming from the Atlantic or vice versa. But when you're out in the Atlantic Ocean, generally you don't have to pay a whole lot of attention to what might be going on underneath the water line. But when you go through a strait, you do, because you don't have a lot of room to work with. So what Christ is saying is there's a gate, and it's got a very small opening, and you have to enter in through that gate, because there's a wide gate that has a really big opening, and there's a really broad way, and that leads to death. And there are many that go in that way. But straight, narrow, small is that gate, and narrow is that way which leads unto life, and few there are that find it. So basically, we have a choice to make in our life whether we want to take the easy way or the hard way. But the irony, or the paradox, you might say, is that the easy way leads to the really bad way, which is death, whereas the hard way leads to the far preferable path, which takes you to life. So what starts off easy ends up really bad. What starts off hard, or you might say bad, ends up really good. And we see this in many aspects of our life. It's not just true of spiritual things. It's easy to sit at home and play video games and eat what you want and never exercise. You know, that's the easy way. But most of us have enough sense to know that in the long run, we're not going to be able to keep the lights on to play those video games if that's all that we're doing, and we're going to die young because we're not taking care of ourselves. So it's hard to get up in the morning and go to work. It's hard to exercise. It's hard to eat right. But we know that it's going to be a lot harder if we don't do those things down the road. So it's short-term gain versus long-term pain. You know, that's the choice that we have to make. And we'd much rather go take that hard choice and have a good ending to that story. The Christian life is a whole series of choices. There's the big choice that we make when we choose to follow Christ, but every day there are lots of little choices that we have to make. And if you're not living a Christian life, you don't have to make lots of hard spiritual choices because you've just chosen you're not going to try. And so you can go about whatever you want to do, and you're not constantly facing these kinds of Christian dilemmas. But for those of us that are actually trying to live a Christian life, we have to make these choices daily. We take up our cross daily. There's a constant series of things that we have to choose. And to one degree or another, we all fail in some ways. But the thing is are we making progress or are we not? And the way that we begin to make progress in the spiritual life is by acquiring wisdom and discipline, and of course asking God to give us the grace and trusting in His mercy when we fail to do so. How do we acquire wisdom? We can learn from wise men, starting with the scriptures, the writings of the saints, but also people around us, people that we see are wiser than us, maybe more spiritually attuned. We can ask for their advice. We can also learn by observation. You can learn a lot by watching people, even in your own family, who make bad choices and see the result and decide, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I had a brother who's no longer with us because of this very reason, but he became a drug addict. I might have been tempted to have tried drugs. I never tried it even one time, only because I saw what it did to him. You know, had I not had that negative example, I might have gone a very different way in my life, and I might have been the brother that my other brothers look to and say, well, I'm not going to go down that road. When we see these negative examples, we can learn things, but also we see positive examples. We see people who are doing the things that they're supposed to do, and we can learn from those things. We can also learn by our own experience, but often that's the hardest way to learn. But a wise man learns by other people's experience before he has to learn from his own experience. Since we're in the church, I'm going to paraphrase a quote from Will Rogers rather than give you the very colorful way that he put this, but it's the very end that I'm cleaning up a bit. Not that it's horrible, it's just not really sober enough for a church service. But he says, there are three kinds of men. The one that learns by reading, the few who learn by observation, and the rest of them have to find out how the electric fence works for themselves. When you learn the hard way how an electric fence works, you might be inspired to start paying attention to the people who told you don't mess with that electric fence. And hopefully you can begin to make some progress towards a more wise, sober life. But you need to know yourself. In the art of war, most of you have heard this quote, know your enemy and know yourself, and in 1,000 battles you'll never see defeat. Well, we need to understand the demons, we need to understand the temptations that are around us in the world, but we also need to understand ourselves, and we need to see our own weaknesses. And when we do have a fall, when we have a shortcoming, when we see that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we need to start examining, where am I messing up here? What is the point at which I'm making the wrong way? As most of you know, because you hear me talk about in confession a lot, I'm a fan of Franklin Covey Planner. It's one of the biggest insights I ever got was in the training where they were talking about the moment of choice. What is the moment of choice? Well, the moment of choice is when you reach a point at which it's easy for you to go one way, or it's as easy as it's going to get, let's put it like that, to go one way. And if you go the other way, it's going to become increasingly hard for you to reverse what you're doing. You're basically coming to a fork on the road, and you have to take one part of that fork or the other. And if you think about people who are alcoholics, for example, if you're an alcoholic and you're trying to abstain from alcohol, the moment of choice comes when you decide to go ahead and take that first drink, knowing that you're not going to be able to restrain yourself. Everything you do after that, it's much harder for you to resist it. You could still do it, but you know, if you know yourself, you know that once you start, you're not going to be able to stop until you wind up drunk. And it's going to be a lot harder for you to get back on the wagon than it would have been if you'd just chosen to stay on the wagon. Well, speaking from my own experience, I had for a long time struggled with being consistent with my morning prayers, reading the scriptures, and exercising in the morning. The problem I had was I was often going to bed too late, and I would get up early. I still get up early, but I would find that as I was staggering into my study and trying to stay on my feet, that chair in my study looked awfully tempting. I would think, I'll just sit down in that chair for a minute. But I sat down in that chair for a minute, I would wind up going back to sleep, or I might start checking my messages or something like that. I'd start being distracted by other things. But if I made myself stand in my icon corner and I began to pray, then everything else the rest of the morning was likely to start going the way that I had planned it to go. So that's the moment of choice. And so now when that chair calls to me in the morning and says, just sit for a minute, I know that's the moment of choice. If I sit down in that chair, I'm choosing to screw up everything else that I want to do. So I'm gonna choose the hard way right now. And so this is what we have to start doing, is learning to identify what is it that is that choke point, that point at which if we go this way, we know we're gonna go down the wrong way. If we go that way, we're gonna do the right thing. And we need to learn to do it, to take the hard way. Discipline is when you form the habit of making the right decisions when you reach that moment of choice. And so the more you do it, the easier it becomes. The Christian life is a choice. It's a big choice. It consists of lots of little choices that we have to make if we want to continue on that straight and narrow way. In the Wisdom of Sirach, it says, he who despises small things will fall little by little. You might think, well, it's just a little deviation. Well, the problem is a little deviation here, a little deviation there, and then pretty soon you're way off the mark. And so you want to pay attention to these small things so that you'll have the strength to make the right decision when you're faced with the big things. If you don't learn how to make the right choices when it's easy, you're going to have a really hard time making the right choice when it's really difficult. As St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Amen.